Proverbs chapter 14. This is one of the proverbs that I was hoping to get to in our study of our study in Proverbs. But hope this tonight will be an encouragement to you. I enjoyed studying it, and it says here in Proverbs 14, verse 4. It says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox." I'm going to read that again because it was short, all right? "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we're just thankful for this Sunday that you've given us, Lord, to come together and to meet and to sing your praises and to hear the word preached. Lord, help us as we fellowship later. But Lord, just give us a few moments here as we draw our attention to this proverb. Teach us from your word. Give us wisdom. Lord, we need wisdom. Help us in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. I can remember as a young boy, growing up in China, there was one specific afternoon where we were driving up to the north side of Beijing, out to kind of in the countryside area, up over the mountains and into the next valley we were driving. And there was, my father was driving and all of us were in the car together, and he slows the car down and comes all the way to a stop and he says, "Boys, look at that." We're looking around and we see out in this field, there's a farmer plowing his field with an ox. And that's something that even in that 25 years ago or so, even in China, that was a very uncommon thing. It was very much behind the times. But it was amazing to see this farmer working with this animal to plow up his field, to turn over the dirt. That was a pretty neat thing to see. And here we have in this proverb, a proverb that on the surface, as it speaks of oxen and their ability to help in farming and help in pulling things and so on and so forth, we see a very obvious practical principle. This, like many of the Proverbs, are very easy or simple to understand what they're saying at face value, but to understand the timeless principle that's housed therein takes a little bit of more effort and a little bit more thought here. But we see this practical truth: where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of an ox. An ox, back in the olden days, it was called poor man's power, because an ox was much more economical to buy. It was a lot cheaper to get your hands on one. They're cheaper than a draft horse. But an ox was also steadier than a horse. It was also stronger and could pull more than a horse could. Oxen, if you know your American history, were the animal of choice to pull the wagons of the settlers that went west to settle the western United States. On all the cowboy movies and the wagon train shows, they're always horses because they're prettier as they're on the TV screen. But in reality, they were 9 times out of 10 oxen that pulled those big Conestoga wagons. In fact, I was reading as I was doing a little research that the settlers, as they would cross the United States, would get out west to where oxen and these kind of animals, farm animals and so on, were fewer and far between. They could buy them for a certain price and just use these animals to the point where they're very weak and get them out west and still sell them and make a profit because of the price difference across the United States. In fact, the oxen or the ox is really very foundational to farming all over the world. In fact, our term for acre, the definition of the size of an acre, used to be at one point, of course now today we know it as 43,560 square feet, or we could break that down into different measurements. But at one point in time, an acre was defined as the area that one pair of oxen could plow on the longest day of the year. That's what an acre was. So it's easy to understand is the strength and the utility of such an animal. An ox was simply a grown steer that has been taught to pull and reaching, depending on the kind or what have you, it was reaching anywhere from 1,500 all the way to 3,000 pounds, able to pull close to their weight. And no wonder we still say strong as an ox. These are some pretty strong animals. It's easy to understand that the increase or the utility that's mentioned here in verse 4. Can you imagine the benefit for a farmer that's going from hand tools to having this beast that can pull a plow, pull these farm instruments? That would be astronomical. I can remember when I was growing up, my father got access to a little patch of dirt that our neighbor had. And he said, yes, y'all can plant a garden. And it was probably only half the size of this auditorium, the little patch of dirt that was made available to us. But we didn't have a tiller. We didn't have any of that. And so my oldest brother, Neil, would go before us with a pick. And he would drive that pick as far down into the dirt as he could get and loosen it a little bit. And my brother and I would come behind him with shovels and dig down and turn that dirt over. We did the whole thing that way. And it was exhausting. And it was barely any little dirt. Can you imagine a farmer who's maybe even, let's just pretend all he's got is this right here. The amount of toil it would take to by hand tools to turn over and to plow, to cultivate just the size of this auditorium, that's a big deal. But when there's an ox, when there's that shrink that's applied to this, would make it much easier. It's easy to understand the utility and the increase that's spoken of here. But tonight, the focus of this verse is not just the strength of the ox. In fact, it's what comes before it. He's focusing in here not on the increase that the ox brings or the strength that is inherent to that kind of animal, but he's focusing in on the work that goes into keeping an animal like that. The work, the maintenance, if you will, the I put it this way, the burden of caring for a beast of burden. There's some responsibility here. There's some difficulty here. Let's look at it just for a moment. He says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. He uses the word crib. You say, well, what does the crib mean? And there are two definitions in the English language for the word crib. Both, I think, have their application here. But the first one is the stall where the animal is kept, the enclosure where the animal is kept. Okay, if the ox is there, it ain't clean. If the ox is gone, it's easy to keep it clean because there's, we understand. Poop is the problem here. Poop is the problem. When you keep animals of any kind, you have to put some thought and effort into cleaning up after them. The poop has to be dealt with. Now, I was talking about it in Sunday school a little bit this morning. I've taken on some meat rabbits just as kind of a hobby to see how it goes, maybe get a little bit of rabbit meat out of it. And I've got three rabbits, and I put some thought into it as I was building the hutch, how to I call it my poop management system. Okay, and so I've got it where there's a tarp. So the hutches are here, and then under there's a tarp that comes down, and then there are two pieces of big PVC that catch all of the droppings and funnel it into this bucket. And it worked like a charm until it rained because I forgot to drill holes in my bucket. And guess what floated perfectly to the brim, ready to spill out onto my hands as I was to empty the bucket the next morning? Yes, the poop. It's just the fact of dealing with animals. I was listening to a speech of Ronald Reagan, and he said he was asked the question one time when he was governor, why he hasn't fixed all the problems from the previous administration. I think I may have shared this with you, Brother Duff, before. It's a good story. And he said, well, this is how I answered with a story. He said, my wife and I, we purchased this ranch, and there was this big barn that was there, and we wanted to keep horses there in the barn and the stalls that were in there. But the previous owner had kept cattle. And he said, so day after day, we went in there with picks and shovels, lowering the level of the stalls. And he said, and I found out a truth. He said, when those days is, and those that effort that we had to put in there, it was this, that you cannot undo in weeks and months what has accumulated over years. It's pretty good principle there, but needless to say, you got to deal with the poop. You've got to clean up after the animals. Well, the second understanding of a crib is a manger or a trough. So it could be pointing to the enclosure with where the animal lives, the stall there, or it could be pointing to the feeding trough where the food and the water is. Both, I think, are appropriate to apply to this verse. Because when there is an ox there, what do you have to do? You have to clean up after it, but you also have to feed and water it. There's some cost associated with that as well. If there's no ox here, you don't need to worry about keeping food in the trough. You don't need to worry about keeping water in the trough. I can remember my great uncle. He was grew up on a farm in Tennessee, and he used to tell stories of having to get up at 4 a.m. or earlier to go and to feed the animals so that they would be ready to go work when it was time to go work. And then he grew up and said, I don't want any of this, and so went and joined the military and got up at like 5:30 every morning and said, I didn't know what to do with all the extra sleep. There was a lot of work associated with feeding those animals. But if you think about it, when that little boy or little girl carrying whatever animal they have found or acquired or what have you, says, Daddy, can we keep it? What are the first two things out of that father's mouth? Well, who's going to clean up after it and who's going to feed it, right? The two main responsibilities that come from having animals. So, because he'll say, look, it'll be fun for a week, but then it's going to be your mom, because it's definitely not going to be the dad who's going to be taking up those responsibilities. Well, here he says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So we understand there's a principle here where much increase is, where utility is, there's much work and responsibility associated with it. It gets messy. So I want to put ourselves in the shoes of this farmer and understand that farmer might be tempted as he's going through the mundane tasks of caring for his beasts of burden, caring for his ox. He might be tempted to do what? To grumble and to complain about all of the requirements and the responsibility associated with it. Hell, I've always got to feed this thing, and he's going through and feeding the animal and watering the animal, and yes, I put out water, but then it gets all messy, I dump it out, or in the winter he goes and it's frozen, got to figure out a way to keep that from freezing, and all of the annoyances and the responsibilities associated with feeding this thing and with watering this thing. And no doubt as he's going throughout the day doing all of the mundane tasks of cleaning up after this animal, he's thinking, why don't we just kill this thing, put some steaks in the freezer, and we won't have to worry about it. He's grumbling and he's complaining, but what's happened here is he's forgot to keep in the forefront of his mind that there is much increase by the strength of that ox. And what he's done here is what we often do. He might be tempted to count his blessing as though it is a burden. Don't count your blessings as though they are burdens. Man, we can apply this principle to so many aspects of our lives when it comes to, as a person living in the sin-cursed world, owning an automobile, owning a car. You think, man, there's that gas bill, there's that maintenance, there's the repairs, there's the insurance, there's all of these ins and outs of operating a vehicle legally on the road and doing it right and keeping it so that it's working. And you know what happens when that gas bill gets high and those maintenance and repairs and all of those things begin to come to the forefront? We get to this grumbling attitude of counting a blessing from God as though it's a burden, and we begin to grumble and complain. Let me tell you, it's a blessing to own a car. God has blessed us in so many ways. Man, we could apply this principle to a tractor. I think that's fitting given the agricultural nature of such a machine, or a mower, or a bobcat, or whatever it be. There's a responsibility there. There's a cost associated with just keeping it in operation, but there's much increase. There's a blessing. There's utility there. My in-laws, as well as my wife, have often made the joke about the word car is auto, and it has an ow in it. The word house is house. It has an ow in it. They hurt a little bit. They cost a little bit. And then I remind my wife that Flau also has an owl in it as wife, but she didn't think that was funny. But owning a home, man, there's a responsibility there. There's honestly, it can get overwhelming. It can get frustrating as you're doing repairs, as you're fixing water treatment things at your home, as you're dealing with peeling wallpapers, you're painting all the walls and trying to get this in a livable position, and you're dealing with plumbing and you're replacing windows and all of the ins and outs. And you know what happens to us? We begin to grumble and complain instead of keeping in the forefront of our minds that God has blessed us with these things. And though there is work and maintenance and even dollar bill signs associated with keeping what God has given us, we ought not to grumble and complain and count our blessings as though they are burdens. This is very practical stuff tonight. We don't need to grumble and complain. We're blessed. We're blessed. Don't count your blessings as though they're burdens. In fact, there was one day as I was in Bible college, I worked part-time at a law firm just doing really mundane tasks of sending out the mail. They had a lot of mail to go out on a weekly basis. Spent about $1,000. By the time I left, about $2,000 a week just on postage, just sending out stuff. So I was stuffing envelopes, I was folding letters and getting stuff I sent out on a daily basis. Boxes and boxes of stuff to get sent out on a daily basis. Kind of a repetitious job, but it paid the bills and I was thankful for it. But one day I wasn't so thankful for it. And I was sitting across the table at the cafeteria from one of my teachers, and I finished eating quickly because I needed to get to work, and I kind of stood up, grabbed my plate to take it to the dish pit, and I let out one of those grumbling and complaining sighs. I said, "Well, I got to go to work." And he looked at me and said, "Don't count your blessings as though they are burdens." Said, okay, yep, you're right. It was kind of a wake-up call. And the reality is having a job is, no, this is deep here. Work is a lot of work. It's real deep. It might take you a while to understand that. Work is difficult. Work is exhausting. It's messy. It's troublesome. But let me tell you, it's a blessing to be able to work. It's not punishment. Before the fall of man, man worked. You understand that? Work is not punishment. It's God's gift to man to give us purpose and work to do. It's important that man work. But don't count your blessing as though it's a burden. Man, I think of in our specific situation here as a church, as we have this wonderful building available to us. I mean, anybody with half a brain would look around and see the needs of this building. I mean, we look, we see windows that need replacing. We see carpet that's worn out, pews that are torn. We see lighting that needs updating. We see the sound room that has a myriad of issues. We see the awning out there that is showing some age. The parking lot needs some attention. We got some accessibility issues. And you look at the cleaning sheet, and just to have church is a lot of work just to keep a building of this size to clean. And what can happen in that situation is we can even begin to resent God's blessing, and we can begin to count our blessings as though it is a burden, and we can grumble and complain. But the reality is we ought not see our blessings as burdens. You know what it says in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. And here on National Ice Cream Day, you might just need to be sweet. I think God would have us to be a church that counts our blessings and not our burdens. Let's be a church that talks about and discusses what needs to be done to the building without complaining about where we are. That's a fine line sometimes, and I'll admit the Lord has convicted me in that way some as I've studied this. But don't count our blessings as though they're burdens. Let's be sweet. Let's be thankful. Let's count our blessings tonight. All right? Let's go eat some ice cream.